Hello. So today we are talking about integrating our aggression. Man, this topic got a lot of, a lot of people had a lot of feelings about this topic. And why should we integrate aggression? Shouldn't we get rid of aggression? Is aggression bad? What is passive aggression? What does my childhood trauma have to do with aggression? You know, all of this, I mean, there was a lot of people having a lot of feelings about this topic. So I am going to just hit this record button really quickly. And we are going to talk about this topic. And for those of you who, we're moving about a bit. For those of you who don't think they have any that they don't have any issues with integrated or unintegrated aggression, then I would love to meet that person, because I have seen it. I have worked with, you know, very senior men, very senior women. I've worked with children. I've worked with men and women across the age range, across professional spheres, different realms of society. And I can tell you that I have yet to meet a human being that has just conquered this task and is feeling very confident with their aggressive instinct or their anger. They struggle with this. So that's where I will start. And I am going to take you guys through all of the notes that I have here. Just for a quick review for all of you guys who have joined me recently, the shadow, I've done a lot of different talks on the shadow. And the shadow is basically a Jungian term, which talks about which is basically referring to the unconscious. Everything that we are not aware of is considered the shadow. So this is not stuff that we're trying to control. So if I'm trying to control my anger, that is not shadow material. It is the stuff that we are unaware of that is shadow material. It is often things that usually traits, behaviors, thoughts that are deemed unacceptable in society, lying, greediness, selfishness, hate, anger, all of these feelings and traits, behaviors that we don't find acceptable in society usually gets thrown into what Robert Bly referred to as a backpack. And imagine this backpack. It starts off in early childhood. Kids are just doing whatever they're doing. And then they put on this backpack the first time their parent says, oh, you know, you don't shout like that. And you say, okay, well, shouting is bad. And every time you shout, someone looks at you with this kind of stern look. And all of a sudden you realize that you shouldn't be shouting. And so you put loudness in, you know, parts of your loudness in there. When you want to keep something for yourself and someone says, oh, that's really greedy, and then you start to identify behaviors as being greedy, so you throw greediness in the backpack, unkindness, meanness, all the traits that we just think other people have and we don't have at all, those are basically in our shadow. And the shadow really pushes up against our conscious, our consciousness by one of the main ways it does that is by us projecting onto other people the things we don't want to face or admit within ourselves. Now, shadow also has a positive aspect. So things like proud, I'm proud of myself, and they say, well, don't brag. So pride can get thrown into the shadow because that sort of is on a spectrum. And for me to say, I feel proud of myself, I feel proud of my accomplishments, is a mature thing, because it's integrating the aspects of pride that are healthy. There is healthy pride. And to say that pride is, you know, an arrogance and everybody, you know, just throwing all of that into the same realm is actually quite unhealthy. And so we can get split off from healthy aspects of those traits as well. So what does Jung say about aggression? He didn't actually just call it aggression. It's something more recently people have talked about, but it's also something that maybe I say because I'm working on that. As you guys all saw in my stories, this is stuff that always comes up in my therapy process about where I can take back power from this complex. And this is, and so he basically called it, you know, an instinct. It's an instinct we all have. And when we have this unchecked aggression, it can lead to us having these outbursts of anger, like rage that just launches into the other person. And then you're like, oh, like, where did that come from? And I think we've done that plenty of times at some point in our lives where we are afraid of our own aggression. We are afraid of our own anger because we have hurt someone in our life because of our anger. And so we're like, oh, just got to get rid of that and just got to disconnect from that. There's many other reasons why people lose contact with their aggression. For sure, what we see in society, what our social conditioning is, culture, religion, family, schools, all preach the same thing. And I have asked this question when I used to work with children. Do you think anger is good or bad? 100% of the time, they will say bad. And if I just rephrase that a little bit, and I did have such comments or questions about, well, why should we integrate our aggression? I like being nice. Here we go. This is precisely unintegrated aggression. Because for me, aggression can mean, well, we'll talk about that in a little bit, but it is when we are uncomfortable with that word. Aggression is not unhealthy. When we act it out in an unhealthy way, when we hurt other people with it, that's when it becomes unhealthy and something that we, you know, are afraid of. There's also fear of consequences. There's another reason why people throw anger into their backpack is that they're afraid of the consequences, as I mentioned. You know, imagine as a child, you every time you got angry, you got told off or you got put in timeout or, you know, and an aggression comes out in a kind of unruly way with little kids, right? And they'll bite and they'll kick and they'll hit and they'll punch. And they'll realize that every time they do that, something really bad happens. And so they're like, I need to just chill with that. And I'm not going to do that anymore. And they almost like, they don't have the nuances that wisdom brings with it, or maturity or experience or age bring with it. So they just throw all of aggression in the back, or they act out the aggression, right? They are like, I'm not going to let you control that. And I'm just going to become a bully, or I'm going to become manipulative. So it becomes unchecked. And there's like a possession that can happen as a result of it being unchecked, of it not being managed, of it not being talked about. And so let's take the example of the person who is really, really nice. Really nice, okay? As a kid, they're really nice. We've got lots of questions about that today. And they're really nice and they're really polite and they feel lots of things, but they don't talk about those feelings because they really want to be kind, because kindness is a value in our home, and generosity is a value in our home, and we don't talk meanly. And so all of that stuff that seems quite aggressive gets put into this backpack. And it's a fact that this happens more to girls than it does to boys, because there is some acting out type of aggressive behaviors that boys engage in, socially acceptable, but girls generally are told, well, you know, girls don't talk like that, or you don't talk this loudly, or you don't talk this aggressively. So girls tend to really throw that back into that backpack. And their journey begins. And then, you know, one day they graduate from high school or college, or they are in their first job, wherever we say, well, you need to assert yourself. You need to speak up for yourself. You need aggression for that. For you to say that you have crossed the line and I'm not okay with this. Or, you know what, I'm not going to do it this way. That is assertiveness. Assertiveness is on the spectrum, right? Here we have passive aggressive, here we have aggressive, and in the middle we have assertive, where it is integrated aggression. So you able to say that something is not right here and I am going to speak up for it is aggression. But because the person has never done that in their life, they say, okay, I'm going to assert myself, and they launch into the person in front of them, and it comes out as this like wild animal, and it's an uncivilized anger. So they say, okay, no, I'm not going to do that, because maybe they get told off, or maybe the person in front of them doesn't take it and they yell back and there's too much conflict, and it just comes out messy. For people who have been, you know, just disconnected with their anger, usually they're acting it out in a passive aggressive way. When they start to speak up, they become aggressive. They swing to the other side. So they're swinging from passive aggressive to aggressive, passive aggressive to aggressive. And somewhere in the middle, because they don't have the skill set, they never learned how to manage their anger. They never learned the value of their anger. They never learned to communicate in a healthy way when they are angry. They're just swinging back and forth. And then they retreat, and then they feel guilty, then they feel ashamed, and then they come out because they can't take it anymore, and they just swing back and forth. Okay? So, hold on one second. So fear of consequences is another reason why people get really disconnected to their anger and aggression. Another could be just trauma and negative experiences in childhood. If they've had a lot of aggression in their household. I know lots of people who had really kind of volatile or violent even households, where one parent or both parents were very aggressive with each other, and they learn to not show their aggression because it's just too much for their nervous system. And if they are a victim of someone else's aggression, they don't want to act like that. And so they just say, I'm never going to be like this. And they literally can dissociate from that part of themselves, like totally disconnect from that part. Number four reason could be that they're just uncomfortable with conflict. And that could be most people on the planet, I think. Like, a lot of people are uncomfortable with conflict. And I'm one of those people. I was one of those people for a very long time. And definitely one of those people who was very afraid of her own aggression. I can come on, like, you know, I can launch into a person. I have very, like, you know, my energy can be very big and my face can be very animated. And it's just like, it's just too much for people. And so it's like, oh my God, but I'm really a kind person. Like, I'm a nice person. I'm a really nice person. And then out comes this thing that's like a dragon. And so it's like, okay, I'm never gonna do that again. But you know what? I don't trust myself because this person is really, really, really making me angry. So I'm just gonna avoid them, because if I go in front of them, I don't know. I don't think they're gonna make it out alive. Like, this is how much, like, it just, you know, like, really starts to rile me up. So it's just, can you handle that? Can you handle that? Actually, can you have that conversation with this person? Can you? And I'm totally justifying it that, you know what, I've hired someone to have those conversations. But the whole time I'm like, girl, I'm just trying to keep you safe and keep the other person safe. So conflict avoidance is one of those things, because they're just not, Yeah, that's one of the reasons why people sort of get disconnected to it. And then their self-image, just like I said, but I'm a nice person. I'm a good person. I am not a mean person. I don't hurt people. This is who I am as a human being. And that doesn't look like that. So I'm just not gonna do that. And so that is one of those reasons why people get disconnected to that aggressive instinct that we have. And then obviously just a lack of skills. Nobody taught us that. Nobody said, all right, honey, now you're gonna feel angry. And when you feel angry, this is how you express yourself. I feel angry when you push me. Please don't push me. Nobody taught me that, right? And so this is one of those people, one of those things that we gotta give to our kids, man. Like, you gotta integrate your aggression, girl. Like, this is what I'm trying to teach my 8-year-old right now. Like, you've got to speak up. You can't just remain quiet when someone is bothering you. And this is how you're gonna speak up. So let's role play here. I push you, and then what do you say? Hey, don't push me. I don't like it when you push me. Like, I've got to actually teach people, my kids, that this is how you do it. You don't just punch people or push them back. Like, you've got to stand up for yourself, because that is asserting a boundary, right? This is not about you push me, I push you, you punch me, I punch you, because then we're just both aggressing, and that isn't going to get you very far in life. But asserting yourself, you learn to have this little kid not push you. One day you're gonna have a big man not push you. And that big man might be your boss, or that big man might be your colleague. And how do I teach you to know when someone's crossed a line, and then to stay within your values of kindness, kind, gentle, firm? I'm going to communicate that this is not okay with me, and I would like it for you to not do that. That is what most people are not taught, and most women for sure are not taught. And of course, there's family dynamics, inconsistent and absent boundaries, cultural, societal factors that I told you about. So many reasons why we get disconnected to our anger. I'm sure you can name a lot. And you know what? Why do we integrate anything? Why do we integrate anything? Is because if you don't make the unconscious conscious, it will dictate your life and you will call it fate. This is a Carl Jung quote. If you don't make the unconscious conscious, it will dictate your life and you will call it fate. Your whole life is a mirror image of all the stuff that is integrated and unintegrated inside of you. The things you don't like in your environment have something to do with you. And what are you doing about that? How are you contributing to that? That is an empowered state. And integrated aggression is power. I am no longer going to give my power away to that scenario. I am going to speak up about it in a way that is consistent with my values of kindness and gentleness and love. But I am going to speak up about it. That is integrated aggression. All right. So, what type of behaviors are present in people who have unintegrated aggression? Number one is going to be passive aggressiveness. What is passive aggressiveness? I've said it in my stories today. I'm just not gonna answer that email, or I'm just not gonna do it. You asked me to do something, I'm just not gonna do it. It can be things like, really? All of that is passive aggressiveness. When someone is talking to you and you're like, yeah. Passive aggressive, just say what you wanna say. What are you trying to say when you're rolling your eyes and huffing and puffing, turning away, tapping your feet, your fingers? All of that is passive aggressive. Silent treatment, woo-wee. Just going radio silent on the person, making them suffer. making them agitated. You're literally pushing your aggression into the other person. That is you being passive aggressive. Insults, you know, subtle insults like, you've done really well for someone with just, you know, your degree. Or, I wish, you know, I didn't care about what I ate the way you don't care. Like, that's passive aggressive. I know it's so subtle, and like, maybe you don't care, and maybe the person who hears it doesn't care, but you're communicating something there. Sarcasm is one of those things that people are, you know, and then they joke about it, and you're like, yeah, that wasn't really funny. Like, you know, man, you're always late, aren't you? Like, that's like, just say it. I don't like it when you're late. You see that? That's assertiveness. Sarcasm is not assertiveness. Neglecting your responsibilities. So you, like, you know, this resistance. Like, I keep asking you to do something and you're not doing it. And I keep asking you and I keep asking you and you're not doing it. But why don't you just come out and say, I don't want to do this anymore? That speaking up is integrated aggression. Sulking. You know, that, what's wrong? Nothing. No, really, what's wrong? Nothing. Come on, something's wrong. And then that person becomes aggressive. See, you're always shouting at me. And all of a sudden, this silent treatment or this sulking movement pushed the aggression into the other person. And then the other person just becomes the aggressor, and you then, of course, become the victim. Victimhood is one of those passive aggressive moves. Forgetting about doing things. Crossed arms, huffing, puffing, smirking, all the things. And of course, like, we've all done it, okay? Like, I know they make me crazy. They totally make me crazy, but like, I've done it. So you need to look at all the things you do and say, this is me being passively aggressive. Please, please, guys, don't think that it's only other people that do this stuff, because that's precisely where the shadow material is. You've got to own it and you've got to look for it. And this is what we will talk about as we talk about integration. So passive aggressiveness is one of those behaviors that people who don't have this stuff, like, really, you know, they haven't worked on this. Outbursts of anger, you like launch into people and then you retreat for 3 months because you're just so embarrassed about what just happened. It's like a shadow possession that happens. Verbal abuse, physical abuse. These are people who don't have a properly integrated aggressive instinct. So contrary to what it may sound like, people who've worked on integrating their aggressive instinct, they are not aggressive. They actually are assertive. They're confident. They speak up. You can sense the power in them. They have an authority about them. They have control over their lives and their decisions. They have good problem-solving skills. They have self-awareness. They have resilience. They take responsibility for their life. They have, they're creative. They're open. They learn. They can take feedback. This is a person who has actually integrated their aggression. They actually are able to have courageous conversations. They're able to say, you know what, I need to speak to you about this, and it's really bothering me. I've been holding on to it, but I really want to talk about this, and I've processed this thoroughly, and I'm ready to come to you with it. Like, this type of stuff, a courageous conversation, rather than just, you know, doing these kind of like moves to avoid these types of conversations. So they're actually not verbally abusive. They're not bullies. They don't manipulate. They don't procrastinate. Well, maybe not all the time, but like, I think everybody procrastinates sometimes, but like, you know what I mean? That they're not, they have a healthy level of competitiveness. They get excited with their competitiveness rather than like, you know, just making everything competitive. Like, come on, guys. Like, we don't have to compete with each other. We're all on the same path towards making the world a better place. Like, why are you competing with me? So this kind of unhealthy competitiveness is also a sign of a person who has not done their work and pulling and integrating their aggressive instinct. Perfectionism. I know, people are like, what? Yeah, perfectionism actually is an unintegrated aggression. There's so much there. I mean, obviously it's one of the things that feeds into perfectionism, because you set these really, really high bars for yourself, and then you expect everyone in your life to be the same way. So you become hypercritical, not just of yourself, but of everyone around you. And that criticism and that criticalness is actually your aggressive instinct. So those are all the ways people act when they haven't done the work. And all the ways that I just talked about, assertiveness, emotional control, confidence, problem solving, self-aware, resilient, responsible, courageous, assertive. I already said assertive. I'll say it again. It's something I struggled with a lot, guys. It really was. It's not easy. Because I would have these moments of aggression and rage against things that I believed in that I couldn't do anything about, and then I would retreat and avoid. And this kind of back and forth is just exhausting. You integrate that, and then you feel you have a strong back and a soft front. That's what it feels like to have integrated that aggression, at least viscerally for me. So what are some ways that we can do some of this work? What does it even mean to integrate anything? That's a great question. But let's just first talk about, integrating anything is a process. You become aware of it. How do you become aware of it? Most often it's going to be through projection. That's like the most common one. Like, if you spot it and it really rocks your world, you got it. Okay. If I spot it and I'm like, what's that? Like, it may not, it might be informing me that that's happening, but if it's really bothering me, then we have something inside of us that we have projected on to another person, because it is too much for our ego to tolerate. So it's much easier to blame other people. They're angry, they're rude, they're greedy, they only think about whatever, fill in the blank. And it's much easier to do that than it is to say, well, I do that too, just like me. You know, there is in order for you to be less judgmental, there's something you can do. This is totally off topic, but I just thought I would share that when you say, oh my God, she is so fill in the blank, she's so self-absorbed, she's so needy, she's so greedy, he is so mean, whatever, you can say, just like me. Three words that'll put you right in check, like, just like me. Because I tell you, you've done it, you've been it, you're probably doing it somewhere in your life. It may not be everywhere, but remain humble until you have reached an absolute state of perfection, which will not happen in this lifetime, probably. So don't judge others and just say, just like me. So whoever is bothering you on this planet, just say, just like me. And that will keep you grounded. So coming back onto topic, which is integrating. How do we integrate aggression? I say this with such a big smile on my face. Integrating it doesn't mean you aggress, okay? Guys, if someone has asked me that question, I'm gonna say it clearly. Integrating it does not mean you become an aggressive person. Integrating it is all the things that I just said before. integrating is this being in your power and speaking up and asserting and et cetera, okay? So integrating it means that I recognize it and I know what to do with it. And ways to do that is first, just start with a mindfulness meditation, okay? You've got to start doing mindfulness meditation, guys. Like, okay, we don't need to convince you anymore. You just got to do it. Like, what that does is you start to watch your thoughts. It creates that little pause in between thought and action where you actually say, am I going to hold on to this or am I going to act on this? We need to create the observer self. The observer self is the one that is going to say, ooh, look at that, you just did that. Interesting. The observer self is going to say, girl, your ego's starting to get engaged. You may want to step out of this one. Like, you'll start to hear that observer self and it will start to have a voice. And it is really almost like this wise part inside of us. So mindfulness is going to help you identify eventually as these aggressive impulses show up, that what are these triggers? What happened before? What happened after? What happened during? What did I do? It slows you down to actually be able to see what is going on. So mindfulness meditation as a daily practice, just start with 5 minutes. Second thing is, a lot of times when I have worked with people that are really up in their head or really dissociated from their bodies, which means they're probably also dissociated with their aggression. Not always, I should take that back, but often it can be that a lot of their anger sort of sits down here and it may be coming out in passive aggressive or aggressive ways. So they're not able to regulate themselves using their whole being. I'm gonna ask them to actually exercise. Exercise is a great way to, you know, move some of that physical aggressive energy around, and it's a healthy way to integrate your aggression. Running and that heart beating and that energy moving inside of you actually allows you to utilize that aggressive instinct in a healthy way. Assertive communication would be another way you integrate that. Now, obviously, that means you're standing up for yourself, you're speaking up for your rights, you're expressing your thoughts and feelings and needs in an open and honest way. You are respecting the rights of others. You are respecting that other people have the right to their opinion. You don't get to dictate how other people feel. You don't get to dictate how other people think. You just have to speak up for yourself, okay? So I think this idea that I will be heard. Well, if you want to be heard, you got to hear other people. If you want space for you, you got to make space for other people. So this is when it's unintegrated aggression. They just come in and they just say that this is my way and I'm gonna do it this way, and this kind of like, you know, I know my self-worth, and it's like, that's not it. That actually is like you launching into an aggressive place now. Like, a integrated aggression would be that you express yourself in a healthy way and you understand that other people have the right to their opinion and their way of doing life, and you cannot push yourself on to other people. So that kind of assertiveness and respectful way of engaging with others, not passive, not aggressive, but assertive. You also can use your, like, when you tap into something. So for example, someone makes me really angry, and instead of just saying, okay, forget it, I'm gonna go pray about it, because sometimes we do that, so we can like bypass. So you can pray about it, but first you got to listen to it. I think you should pray about it all the time. I pray a lot. But if you are using prayer to disassociate from an emotion, then that emotion is still lingering about inside of you, and I guarantee you it's going to show up in that through maybe just, and it's going to show up most often in a passive aggressive way. If you keep praying about it and you keep wanting to hold on to that niceness, I promise you it's going to show up in a passive aggressive way. because aggression doesn't go away. Nothing goes away until you transfer it or transmute it or transform it or alchemically do something with it, talk about it. Then it's lessened, okay? Let's see, you can also consider engaging with a therapist. This is what I do. She helps me see things. I say, oh, I think this is unintegrated. She's like, no, honey, that's just what it is. I'm like, okay. You know, sometimes you need someone to go on this journey with, because they're just saying this is what it is and this is not what it is. And this was healthy, and you gotta tweak that one a little bit. Like, or, you know, what are you avoiding here? How did it get to this place? How did you let it get here? It's like, I was just hoping someone else would do it. Like, you know, okay, you were avoiding conflict. Why were you avoiding conflict? Oh, I don't have energy for the conflict. Okay, so it's not that you didn't know what to do. It's not that you didn't know how to express yourself. You just need resources for that conversation. Okay, so it's not unintegrated aggression. It actually is just, I'm tired right now. And I've got like 800 moving parts in my life, and I don't have like the energy or the focus to give to this thing that requires it. But girl, you gotta resource up and you gotta have that conversation, because it's just gonna get worse. Because that's what happens when you are avoiding conversations or avoiding conflict or avoid, it just gets bigger. Everything gets bigger. It doesn't go away and it doesn't stay the same. It just gets bigger. Yeah. And so I guess I can take some questions now. I think I explained everything. So I actually will say, what is integration? Like, how do I know I've integrated it all? You will never integrate it all. That's why it's the shadow and the unconscious. The unconscious is as vast as the oceans and as the universe, okay? So we will never get to all of it. And we will constantly and continually be working on integrating parts of our psyche into our consciousness. The more we pull from the darkness into the light, the bigger our light. That's what we want. When we say light and love, this is it. The more we pull from the darkness, which is the shadow unconscious, the more light we have, the more power we have, the more energy we have, because the shadow gets heavy unless you integrate moving into the light. So what is integration? Is that? And it's bit by bit. It's not like, oh, I just took a whole chunk. Like, it doesn't work like that. It's bit by bit, event by event, experience by experience, person by person, you start to own and own and take and own and take and own. And you never really conquer it all. I have been doing this work for the last 7 years in a very dedicated, committed way, 2 hours a week, hundreds of hours of analysis. This is, and I'm not saying that you'd need to do that, but I'm just saying that this is still things that I'm working on. This is still stuff that I encounter in myself, because you never achieve wholeness. You just move towards wholeness. You just become more whole, right? So just think about this as a circle. We might never fill like the whole circle, but you can make more and more and more and bigger of that circle. And that's what we want, is more consciousness. And that's what integrating looks like. So what does that look like? Let me just give you an example. Like, let's just say I have an interaction with my husband, and like, it really made me angry. And I had an outburst. And I was like, what was that about? Sometimes, you know, you're irritable. Okay, that's fine. But I'm not, it wasn't that. This outburst was really uncalled for. Like, it just what he was doing and my reaction to what he was doing was really not matched. This is an outburst. So I'm not talking about like when we're moody or when we're agitated or any of that, because that can happen quite often. But this is when I launch, like if I launched into him, it's like, okay, what was that about? Then I might not sit with it right away because I gotta go to work. And so I go to work and I say, okay, I'm gonna actually think about this. I'm gonna log this in, like things I need to think about. What was it about that? And then I'm gonna process it. We're gonna use the language of processing. I gotta think about this. What happened before? What happened after? Was it just me being irritable? Or was it just really something more? What was it about what he said that actually made me feel like that? Okay, you know, when he asked me that the same time, he's asked me that four times. Ah, there we go, hold on, we've got something here. He's asked me the same question four times. Well, what makes you so angry about that? Well, I don't feel heard. I feel like I'm using energy I didn't have to say the same thing again and again, because I've said it this many times. It's been something that he knows very well about me, so why is he doing that? So that makes me upset because I have a limited amount of energy and I now had to use it for this. Okay, now I can go back to him and say, listen, it makes me really angry when you ask me the same question again and again. Is there a way we can avoid that from happening? Would you like me to send you a WhatsApp message with my weekly plan? Or would you like to send, you know, what would you like, how would you like this to happen, our communication to happen, so that you don't ask me that the same again and again? And that is now me asserting, this is integrated knowledge about what triggers me, aggression that I then actually then, all that aggression I took, that outburst I took, and then I transmuted it into an assertive, expressive conversation that was healthy. So this is where, you know, and I did two things. I became aware of the fact that I don't like to say the same thing again and again. And I also realized that these kind of outbursts are still very possible in me. And I will have outbursts unless I keep integrating that. But I learned how to assert myself. This was not a skill that was taught to me. This was not a skill that was given to me in school. This was not a skill that was given to me within our culture, within our family, it's not. It's something I had to teach myself and practice and stumble and fall and fail many, many times before I found a rhythm. And I still get very dysregulated. There are times where I'm like going in for a very serious conversation and I've got to go to the beach, I've got to ground myself, I've got to breathe, I've got to pray, I've got to pull in every bit of me to be able to say, now I'm going in for this high conflict conversation and I'm gonna dig deep and I'm gonna stay grounded and I'm gonna have all types of ways where I'm gonna stay calm and I'm gonna stay grounded. I'm gonna role play many times before, I'm gonna take many notes, and then I go in and have that conversation. And this is me integrating all of that thing that I'm very, very upset about and then communicating it in a way that is healthy. So this is the work of integration. Integration is accepting that you have that tendency and then doing something to manage that and engaging with it in a healthy way, having a healthy outlet for it. That's what integration means. Some of it, maybe I missed some things, but generally speaking, that is what integration means. Okay. I'm gonna take some questions now. That was not a question. So someone says, what if I keep ignoring someone or promise I will call and I don't call? I would really get underneath that. What is it about? Like, what are you avoiding here? Because that would be seen as a passive-aggressive behavior. Um, how to not act on triggers. Well, first you need to know what a trigger is. Trigger is anything that gets a reaction out of us, okay? And what triggers me doesn't trigger you. And what triggers you doesn't trigger me, and that's how triggers work. And triggers are actually like a little, you know, spotlight into stuff you need to integrate. So if you get triggered by something, there we go. You can pull that into the light. The trigger is the treasure, guys. Move towards the trigger. Don't act on the trigger, but move towards the trigger, right? For me, the trigger was that someone keeps asking me the same question again and again. Or another trigger for me is when I say something and then someone doesn't believe me. And it's like, why do I have to convince you to believe me? So a trigger could be when I say I'm okay, and you're like, but you're really not okay. It's like, well, maybe you're not okay. I'm okay. You know, that's a trigger for me. It's like when I say something, just believe me and accept my self-knowledge about that. And if I'm telling you I'm okay, but I'm really not okay, that's my stuff, not yours. So just let me. I'm not ready to talk about it, or I'm not ready to integrate that part of me, or I'm too conflict avoidant, or there could be a million reasons why someone says they're okay, but they're not okay, but don't ask me. But that's not true. That triggers me. So actually, you can tell how much of a trigger that is for me. But the trigger will lead you to the treasure from the unconscious that you need to go towards. And that will give you some material about yourself. The trigger will yield self-awareness. The trigger will yield self-awareness. If you move towards the trigger, try to understand the trigger, it will give you some awareness of yourself. And there probably is some big thing underneath that, maybe a complex there, that you can actually take energy and power away from and move the power into your consciousness and into your conscious self. So that's what we want to do with a trigger. So you don't want to act on the trigger, but you do want to understand it. You do want to think about it. You do want to process it. You want to journal about it. You want to talk to your therapist about it. You want to do all sorts of things with it, but you don't want to act on that. Okay? So someone asked, is there any way to stop being a people pleaser? I know there's like, people are like, well, stop people pleasing. It's like, yeah, if it was that easy, then we wouldn't be doing it. Like, like, just draw the boundary. It's like, yeah, I know. But I don't, like, the resistance is real, man. So you need to understand the function of you wanting to people please. What is the function it's serving in your life? What are you fearing will happen when you don't people please? They'll leave me, they'll reject me, I'll have no one, I'll be alone, no one will like me, I won't get what I want, because sometimes we do that, is a way of actually controlling other people. I know it doesn't feel good to say that, but sorry guys. Sometimes we're people pleasers, and in our effort to control the other person, to get them to do what we want. So sure, I'll bring this for you, and I'll do this for you, and I'll say this to you, but then you'll be in my, you know, sphere, and then you can't leave me. So it's a way of controlling. So get underneath it. Why are you engaging with it? And what would happen if you stopped? That's what's keeping it locked in. You already know you don't want to do it. How do you deal with a person who is passive aggressive, who refuses to take responsibility for it? You take responsibility for your behavior, and they take responsibility for their behavior. You can only say that I'm not going to engage with this in any way. And if it continues on, so depending on what type of environment you're in, you set your boundaries and you set your expectations. If it's with a child who's being passive aggressive, this is not, we're not gonna roll like this. We're so expressing yourself about what you expect from that person. If it's a colleague, then, you know, obviously if it's a boss, then you have limitations there, you might not be able to, but even then you can assert yourself. You can assert and say, I think you are trying to tell me this, and you can actually call something out. Where people speak in like, well, other, you know, people have said this. Who has said this? I would like to know all the information. So they use all of these antics and tactics where you can speak with clarity. But if you are not clear, then the issue will continue. So, yeah, you are responsible for your behavior and what you will tolerate. You cannot change another person. You cannot make them be different. You can just talk about what you will accept and what you will not accept. I think I'm done. there's so many questions, but I'll continue on with these questions and maybe I'll make stories about some of these questions. I'm trying to do that, guys. I'm trying to come on to stories a little bit more, just to share some of the thoughts. I know I had said this like 3 years ago that I would do, that there are times where I think about something or that I've encountered something or someone has asked me a question or, you know, I've encountered something in my own therapy process that I want to share with you. And so I'll be doing more of that in the stories. They won't get saved, but they'll be there in the stories. So thank you so much, guys. It was really good to be with you. And it's been a while, but thank you all. And thank you all for being respectful and so generous always. Bye.